As I bring this to you today, as the Lord has directed me, that you will begin to look at things in spiritual eyes, hear things with spiritual ears, and you'll begin to understand what's going on in Living Water Worship Center. And I would pray that you would see that clearly, and once you see it clearly, that you would determine in your heart that you're going to do something about it, that you're going to speak up, that you're going to make sure that what God has desired for you and for this church is going to be accomplished. I will share with you, as the pastor of this church has been called to usher in a revival for this region. I'm going to say it again because y'all ain't getting me. God has called a Living Water Worship Center to usher in a true revival for this region. And we're not ready. We're a long way away from being ready. In fact, the word church can be used very loosely because a lot of us acting like we're a part of church. But God's going to get that handled, amen? I want God to be able to be free to do what he needs to do in this house. I want him to be able to come in this house. I want him to be able to change people's lives. I want to see healing. I want to see people that are bound in addictions be healed and be delivered. I want to see God grow his church. But all of that rests upon you and your decisions and your commitments unto God yourself personally. Because revival must start with you. It don't start in the pulpit. It starts at your house. So when it starts in your house, which is the temple of God, then know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if you're not in revival, nobody else is going to be in revival.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. If you're not in revival, nobody else around you is going to be in revival.
Amen.
So you've got to get in revival. How many agree that Living Water needs a revival? Amen?
Amen.
Matthew chapter number 21, verse number 1, it says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethany, upon the Mount of Olives, they sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me." Read that last phrase with me, if you will, out loud as you can read it. "Loose them and bring them unto me." Say it again. "Loose them and bring them unto me." Say it one more time. "Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them." Look at your neighbor here this morning and say, "The Lord has need of you." Find you another one here this morning and say, "The Lord has need of you." Problem is, you're tied all up. God's ready to release you this morning. Amen. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." And Jesus went in the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple. And he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, "It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And they said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Yeah. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? And he left them, and he went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now, in the morning, as he returned into the city, he was hungry. Tell your neighbor here this morning and say, Jesus is hungry this morning. God is hungry for you, amen. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and he found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he was hungry, and he came to it, and he found nothing thereon, just leaves. And he said unto that fig tree, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently, or immediately, the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto him, I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? Was it from heaven or from a man? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we say from heaven, he'll say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. But what do you think about this? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and he said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and he went. And he came to the second and he said, Likewise. And he answered and said, I'll go, sir. And he went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, The first one did. Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye seen it, repented not afterwards that ye might believe him. Hear one other parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, and he hedged it round about, and he digged a wine press in, and he built a tower, and he let it out to the husbandman, and he went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandman, and they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants, and he beat one, and he killed another, and he stoned the other. And again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto him likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, They will certainly reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let's kill him. Let's seize on his inheritance. And they called him, and they cast him out of the vineyard, and they slew him. And when the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will ye do unto those husbandmen? And they said unto him, He will miserably destroy those wicked men. and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits of their seasons. Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in your eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringeth forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. If your ears was open this morning, you would already be under conviction. Because the Lord has just spoke to this church in a mighty way. It's crunch time in this church. It's crunch time in your life. If you don't want to be cursed for the rest of your life, it's time to listen to God. If you don't want God to come in your life hungry for fruits and no fruits being there, you need to hear what thus saith God this morning. I want to speak to you briefly a few minutes on the release of the dove. Would you pray with me, please? Holy Spirit, Father God, I need you this morning. I need to hear exactly what you would have me say to these people. Father, I also need you to anoint each word that comes out of my mouth, that goes over this internet, that touches the people that are not here. Father, I pray, Lord God, as I have constantly now for over 3 years preached to half of a church in person and half of a church not in person, I pray, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit in some way will be released today, Lord God, that it'll go to each and every heart, soul, mind, and body, and finally bring this church into unity. For Father, we need to be on even keel and even unity with you and on the same page with your Holy Spirit. Father, today I would pray that each and every heart, soul, mind, and body is open and receptive, and they will listen with attentive ears, an open heart, a willing spirit to hear what you have to say to them this morning. For I have no doubt, Lord, that you have a word directly from heaven for Living Water Worship Center. God, remove all personal human dross within my delivery. Father, I lay myself upon your altar, and as the altar purges me of all human dross and every gift that's given of human dross, I pray, Lord, that you today will make what I offer this church through the power of the Holy Spirit as a gift, as a sacrifice pleasing unto you this morning. Father, let the urgency of your spirit flow upon everyone that hears me this morning. Father, let it flow upon those that will hear me later online. God, now in the name of Jesus, I pray and bind any attack of the enemy to close up the oracle from heaven that I have heard, and allow me in this hour to preach it the way you would want me to preach it. Holy Spirit, I need you this morning. I need you more than I ever have. In Jesus' name I ask. Let the church say amen. Amen. The Lord Jesus frequently illustrated his sermons by using earthly things to make eternal points. And he did so in this chapter. He did that to convey to us that he was a certain type of God. To convey to us that he was the bread of life, he took some fish and some bread. And in doing so, he took that child's lunch and he turned it around and multiplied it and fed thousands. He did that to show us that he was the living bread, as well as to tell us that he is the only satisfier to your hunger. His first public miracle displayed such a great power as he turned water into wine. And he, as he done that, he visibly portrayed to you that Jesus was and always is the answer to your thirst. You can be thirsty for anything in life, and you can try all the rest, but you'll have to eventually try the best. He is the only thing that will thirst, that will conquer your thirst in this life. Every miracle that Jesus did accomplished more than just supplying that immediate need that he was ministering to at that point. Every miracle he ever done all came with a lesson to be taught to each and every one of us, and values to be established about the kingdom of heaven. And nowhere in scripture is this displayed to us that with the activities that took place in the week that was leading up to his crucifixion. Today we are picking up his entry into the city of Jerusalem, his triumphant entry, the week prior to him being dead. Within 3 days he will be carried up to the council, and he will be condemned to death. He will be dead in just a little while. And in this hour, Jesus does more ministering than he's probably done in 3.5 years. Each step that he takes, every deed that he does in this last week, accomplished and served as a visual sermon to each and every one of us about the Lord's covenant of love for his church. How much he loved his church. How much he loved his people. And how much he loved you. And he established, by showing you what he did, his commitment to literally provide for an ongoing sustainability through the power of the Holy Ghost to his church. This week, Jesus is using physical things to make some eternal truths. Now, in this final week prior to the Lord's crucifixion, it began with his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. I want you to understand, this just didn't happen. It was carefully planned out by Jesus. It was carefully planned out by God. This event that we have read today will eventually lead to the cleansing of the temple of debauchery and sin. This that Jesus is doing today will evict religious corruption out of his church. And he will welcome the release of the anointing that has been imprisoned in the house of God. And he will do so within this one last week that he is moving along. And it began with the two disciples being instructed to go out into a place called Bethany and to go out in order to secure transportation to Jerusalem. All this story is about is release. Everybody holler out and say release. Jesus goes, sends these two disciples to go into a place to release the donkey. Then he goes into the city to release the people. Then he goes into the church to release the church. And as he goes forward, he is sharing with us that I want to release my people. I want to release the folks that are not in fruitful by a fruit. Bearing fruit for me, I want to release my church, and I want to release the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Everybody say release. Release. These two disciples would go and find the donkey, and he would find his young colt in a place where two roads connect, according to another gospel, at an open door. In a place where two roads connect at an open door, the mother donkey and the foal was tied up in this place. Jesus forewarned them and gave them instruction that if they were going to go there and anybody was going to say anything to them about releasing these donkeys, that they were to tell them the Lord has need of them. And by doing so, as they said, the master has need of them, then all argument would be released. All argument would be taken out of the way, and they were able to bring what God needed to be able to free his church. Now, I want to share with you something. Jesus could have easily walked into the city of Jerusalem. In fact, he walked everywhere he went. But today, for some reason, he decided that he was going to ride into the city of Jerusalem on the back of a colt that had never been ridden before, a donkey.
Now, there's something you need to understand about a donkey. On the back of a donkey, every donkey you'll ever see in your life, there is a cross on the back of the donkey. If you look at the top of that donkey down there, when I was coming up, Daddy had a little old donkey, and I went out there, and the first thing I noticed is there was a cross on his back. Every donkey I have ever laid my eyes on in my life has a cross on its back. Jesus could have easily walked in Jerusalem and he walked everywhere he wanted to go, but he did this today because it was something that he needed to do. It was carefully planned. Firstly, he needed to fulfill prophecy. You see, over in Zechariah chapter number 9, Zechariah tells us to rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king will come unto thee, and he is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So Jesus was prophesied that he would go into the city of Jerusalem riding on the back of a donkey on top of a cross. See, Jesus got on the cross long before Golgotha's hill. Jesus rested on the cross on the back of this donkey. Secondly, he had to do this because he needed to send a strong message that all 430 prophecies about him being the Messiah would be fulfilled. So as he done this, he had a reason. He was on a mission. He could have easily walked in, but he needed to get something accomplished. So Jesus begins to ride into the gate on the side of the city, on the east side of the city, while across the town, Pilate is riding into another gate on the west side of the city. And at the same time, that Roman prefect we know as Pontius Pilate comes in from Caesarea, and he is sent there to maintain order during the Passover because the Roman government felt like that there was going to be riots and people were literally going to have major problems and problems on the outside, mass problems all there, and they send all these people in. But Jesus began to enter in triumphantly as a counter-procession to Pontius Pilate's entry on the other side. On the other side of the town, Pontius Pilate was coming in with thousands of soldiers. He was riding stallions, and there were people all around in there welcoming this prefect from Rome there because they demanded worship. Pilate came riding in on that stallion, while on the other side, Jesus, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the Son of the living God, your Lord, your Savior that gave his life for you, came in a humble, peaceful move and came in on a donkey. Pilate had thousands of soldiers filled with weapons. Tens of hundreds of thousands of people were around him as he come in. Pilate entered in as the prefect of war. Jesus entered in on the other side as the Prince of Peace. I need you to see this picture because he's on a mission. Everybody say he's on a mission. Pilate paraded through that west gate, or what the Bible calls the front gates, with legions of soldiers ready to kill anybody that got out of whack. Jesus, however, entered into the Golden Gate on the east side of the city. At that gate there, it was called the Gate of Mercy. Thank God that he entered into the city of Jerusalem under the Gate of Mercy, because if it weren't for mercy, not a one of us would be here today. Thank God that Jesus did that to fulfill prophecy. Thank God that he'll do it, because that gate right there, the Bible tells us, will be the gate that he re-enters into Jerusalem again when he comes back for his church and he comes to set his kingdom up here on this earth. Ezekiel reveals that this gate is where the Shekinah glory of God would appear. It had appeared in the past, and it's going to appear again when the Messiah returns and begins to walk into the city of Jerusalem. That's amazing to think about, because in 1541, the government went there and concreted that gate completely closed. There's going to be something that's going to happen that's going to literally pulverize that concrete, because there is a prophecy that still needs to be fulfilled, that Jesus will enter into the city of Jerusalem through the Gate of Mercy, and he'll show up one more time here on this earth bringing mercy to mankind. Would you say amen? Ezekiel told us in Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 1-3, that it would be sealed until that day. It says, then he brought me back into the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary, which looked toward the east, and it was shut. Then said the Lord unto me, this gate shall be shut. It shall not be open, and no man shall enter into it, because the Lord God of Israel has entered in by it. Therefore it shall be shut. It is for the prince. The prince, he shall sit in into it to eat bread before the Lord, and he shall enter by the way of the porch of the gate, and shall go out by the way of the same. Jesus entered in on his triumphal entry at the gate of mercy, and that gate's been shut down by man to try to keep him shut up and sealed by hell to keep him from coming. But there ain't a thing in this world that's going to stop Jesus from showing up at the gate of mercy and coming to bring out his kingdom to the earth. Amen. So Jesus made a very careful procession, and he made a choice to go and ride on the back of a colt that was new and unridden. And he had the mama coming behind it. Doing so shared with us and represented a brand new day. Everybody holler out and say, it's a brand new day. You see, he was sharing with us that grace was going to be ushered in to the church. I just want to stop for a moment and thank God for grace. Because if it weren't for grace, when you took the alcohol and you poured it down your throat, you'd be dead. I want to thank God for grace, because when you got high and you took that pill, if it weren't for grace, you'd be dead. I want to thank God for grace, because if it was the devil's way and he had his way, your heart would not be pumping blood through your veins right now, because the devil hates you with a passion. He wants to take you out of here. He wants to kill you. I just got to take a few moments and thank my God for grace. You see, when I was in that car accident, it was supposed to take me out. When COVID showed up in my household, it was supposed to take me out. When my wife had pneumonia, it was supposed to take her out. When he came through this church and made all of us sick, it was supposed to shut this church down. But by grace and by mercy, we're still here, and we still got Jesus on our side. Thank God he ain't gave up on us yet. And although we may have sealed the gate to keep him out of the church, God's about to obliterate that gate spiritually and show back up in Living Water Worship Center. And you better get ready for it, because you're going to be part of it. And I know it, and I believe it with all my heart. Get ready for Jesus to show back up in the church. Amen. A brand new covenant was being based on a brand new law. You see, he was riding on a brand new colt that had never been ridden, a cross. And his mama, which was older than her, that little colt, was falling behind her. He was saying, I'm not here to abolish the law. I'm fulfilling the law. What I'm going to do is I'm riding through this gate to ride out the old covenant as I ride in the brand new covenant. Amen. So by letting that colt's mother come along, it symbolizes that he did not come to destroy the old covenant. He came to come and fulfill those laws. He just simply wrote it out. I want you to understand what I just said there. You need to hear what your preacher is saying today. Although you are under the new covenant, and the new covenant is grace, there's still laws you got to keep. There's still things you got to do. There's still promises you've got to fulfill. When you say you're going to do something, you better do it. God is the same God that he was yesterday, today, and forever. You better thank God that he has operated with you under grace, because not a single one of us are supposed to be here. Because if we got what we justly deserved, we'd have been dead long time ago. You need to just take a moment and thank Jesus for grace. You need to take a moment and really thank him that you got breath going through your lungs. You need to take just a moment. My God, are you dead this morning? You need to take a few moments and just praise God that he gave you the power to get up this morning. He did not abolish the old law. He fulfilled it. It is through his mercy and his grace, his fulfilling of that law, that Living Water Worship Center still has an open door. It is through his living perfectly and righteously that he done here on this earth that gives us the opportunity to even have a church to come and worship him in. It is in by his righteousness, it is by his living, it is by his love and by his mercy that you today are alive. You and I should be dead and in a devil's hell. We need to thank God that we got grace. But we have treated it and frustrated it. We think that just because we use the word grace, we can still do whatever we want to do, and God's going to be all right with it. Let me share with you, God demands holy living. Let me also tell you that God demands from you for you to do your reasonable service. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care what problem you're handling. I handle the same problems. Jesus handled the same problems. There are other people in the sound of this voice right here sitting in this pew. Listen to me online. They have heard and deal with the very same problems that you deal with. I know what it's like not to have no money. I know what it's like not to have a car. I know what it's like to have to call somebody to come get me. I know what it's like not to have any money. I know what it's like not to have a job. I know what it's like to be there. We've all dealt with that. And in that period of my hour, I did not throw my Jesus away. I was still at the church when I needed to be at the church. I made sure my calendar was literally orchestrated by how God wanted me to live. I didn't give up on God. I didn't throw my hands up and say nothing going to change. I knew that the only way I could come through what I fell into is to have Jesus show up and jerk me out of it and release me from where I've been tied up at. I want you to just look at your neighbor this morning and say, you need to get released. Turn around again, holler at everybody back in the back and say, we all need to get released this morning. 100% was based on the covenant relationship in man's heart of Jesus Christ. You are under a covenant. A covenant. Now, many of you don't understand a covenant. And we all don't realize it very much, but let me share with you, a marriage is a covenant. If your husband runs around on you, you have every right to cut him loose. If your wife runs around on you, you have every right to cut her loose.
Hello, say amen.
If there is anyone in your life that has given you a covenant and they do not keep the covenant, you have every right to disassociate with them and leave them alone forever. Jesus has every right to leave us alone because we have not kept our covenant to him. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for grace. I thank God that Jesus wrote out the old covenant, because when he wrote that old covenant out that day through the gate of mercy, through the eastern gate, that gate that he's going by, every step that little fold took, a brand new covenant was being ushered in to the church. And every time that he was going through it, he was riding out the old covenant. Every step, it was literally brimming up in heaven's pavilion, in heaven's courtroom, saying Jesus has fulfilled the law for every living human being that will be on the face of this earth. And because of that, you can live. If you believe in him, you will have eternal life. My God, thank God that he fulfilled that covenant. Amen. Everything about him in the new covenant was completed. All that he did, all that he was. His life fulfilled what Isaiah said about him in chapter number 7. His suffering and his death was literally fulfilled by what the psalmist talked to him about in Psalm chapter number 22. In Psalm 16 and 10, he would visit hell and then fulfill that prophecy. So he was saying, there isn't anything that's going to be left undone. And this week, when I go into Jerusalem, I am going into Jerusalem to release those things that are tied up at a place where two praise me and where the door is open. I'm going in to release the people so they can praise me. I'm going into my church to release my church. I'm going in there to release the Holy Ghost. And he says, as I am doing that there, I am coming in, and I'm going to make sure every prophecy is being fulfilled. And even when it's all said and done, I will be gone down to the very pits of hell and grab the keys of death, hell, and the grave out of the devil's hand and come back victorious in the power of Almighty God. Thank God that we're under grace. Every promise concerning the Messiah was lived out by that man that's riding on this donkey. Jesus told the two disciples, he said, I need two donkeys. Go get them. He said, go over to that city, that little village right over there called Bethany. He said, when you get over there, you're going to come to a place where two roads come together. And when you come there where those two roads come together, there's going to be an open door. And it's going to be at a place where the past and the future come together. It's where your past and the future meet. It's a thing that carries the gospel was found right in the middle. Tied up where two places come together. Our church today is in a place where there is an open door. We could easily go through it. And we're tied up in the middle. We need to be released. For some of us, our past is keeping us from going forward. For some of us, our faith in ourselves and our faith in God at the present is keeping us from going forward. Am I talking to anybody here this morning? Amen. These animals were tied up. They were bound. Our church is tied up and it is bound and it needs to be released. We have been at a place where two roads come together. I want to go and serve the Lord, but I ain't got time to serve the Lord. I ain't got money. I got to work on Saturday. I got to work on Sunday. I want to go to the church and I want to do with the church, but I ain't got this and I ain't got that. I want to do this. I want to fulfill what I promised God, but I'm too wrapped up in this over here. We're in two ways that's hitting one another, and we're tied up and we're bound. And God has said this morning, I am sending somebody to release you if you want to be released. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to be released. This is one of the world's dilemmas today. This is the church's dilemma today. They're tied up. We're all called to be that donkey to carry the gospel. That donkey's one reason for being birthed was to carry the gospel into the city of Jerusalem. Your one reason for being born on the face of this earth is to carry the gospel on the inside of you. You are a carrier of the gospel. Jesus lives in you. You are a carrier of the gospel. We are called to carry the gospel, but we are bound at that place where these two roads connect together and where the road of the past and the future meets together. We're bound up. Both generations are bound up. Your generation and your children's generation are bound up right now. But I want to tell you, God has orchestrated today a Living Word Worship Center that he is sending angel messengers here into this house because he is ready to release you from being tied up and bound up. How many is tired of being tied up? Let me say here, you see your hand, say amen. How many is tired of being bound up? How many is tired of you coming to this church and being bound up because somebody else in the church ain't doing what they're supposed to do? I want you to know I'm tired of being tied up. I'm tired of being bound up. I'm ready for God to send the angel that he needs to send to unloose the ropes that's holding Kip Nance back. I'm ready for him to send what needs to be sent to release my finances and to release my blessing that's being held up in the way where two ways back. God has sent the Holy Ghost here this morning in this house to release you and to release everything about you because you are the carrier of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, can I preach a little bit this morning? Amen. Sometimes station in between, though, can be a comfortable place to be. Wonderful comfortable. Being in the middle allows you a couple of luxuries. And I have seen these luxuries be used in this church. And it is evident that there are many that are still tied up in that place. You see, when you're tied up where two ways meet at an open door, you can be critical of the people that hadn't got there yet. And then you can be critical of them that's already passed by. Same time, you can be suspicious of those that has went on further than you. And that's the picture of the church today. We got some on the way to be at the place to be tied up and bound. And then we have some that's lived that bounding before and been released by God. And then we got those that are there in that place and they're just literally looking out and they are literally running down those that's on the way and they're reeling those and running those down and suspicious of them that has made it through. To the point to where they're actually jealous of what God has done for them in their life. This church is tied up in the middle. It seems that we aren't living in our past anymore, but we really ain't caught on to what God is doing yet. And you know, we've been wanting to get a hold of what God is doing, but the minute we finally get to where we think that God's been doing something, God's already moved on. I'm telling you, I'm tired of working hard to try to get everybody to the place, at one place where God is moving at. And finally, when you get the message, God's moved on to another place. I want you to know God is a progressive and a proceeding God. His word constantly proceeds out of his mouth. God is a moving God. And if you don't move with him, you're going to be behind him. And if you don't move today, God's going to keep right on moving. And the space between you and him is going to get further and further and further from you. And no, God knew that and realized that that's the way I was going to be, and that's the way Kara is going to be, and that's the way every one of us is going to be. So what he done is he sent the Holy Ghost, and he sent him down here to fill the empty space between me and him. Thank God that the Holy Ghost is filling the empty space between me and God this morning. Because if it weren't for the Holy Ghost and his ministry and what he's doing in the church, then we won't never be able to see God. Amen. We have an empty space between God and us because we have failed to progress and to go forward each and every day. And God keeps right on moving. And the more God moves and the less we move, the further he gets away from us. But you know what? God said, I've sent the Holy Ghost to live on the inside of you. And at any time, you can allow the Holy Ghost to jerk you and pull you right where God's at today. Oh, am I helping anybody yet? Are y'all starting to see the condition of this church? Amen. That's a picture of the church. God's progressive. This church has got to start hearing the word of God as it proceeds out of his mouth. We cannot keep hearing the word of God that's coming out of his mouth and not applying it in our life. We cannot continually have someone preach to us what thus saith Almighty God and leave this house with our hearts made up that we ain't going to change nothing about our life. Can't do that there. Because what happens if Abraham would have never heard the word of God that come out of his mouth, Isaac would have been killed. Y'all following me? Amen. Instead, he secured the future of a great nation and the eternal aspects of that nation by hearing what come out of the ears of the mouth of God by his ears. God's fundamental and unilateral laws has never changed. He is the same God that he was yesterday. But he does update his methods every now and again. I want you to know God wants to release his church right now. He's tired of us being in the in-between place, tied up right outside an open door. This church has been right in front of an open door for years. And the minute we're about to bust through and go through that open door, we allow the devil to tie us back up again. God wants to untie us this morning. I want you to look at your neighbor this morning and say, God is here to untie you. God is here to untie you from that habit. God is here to untie you from that addiction. God is here to untie you from that attitude. God is here to untie you and release you because you are the carrier of the gospel to this world today. Oh, my gracious, I wish I could preach. We should not resist his untying. We should be willing for the Lord to untie us. I want to know today, I don't want you to throw your hand up if you don't mean this with everything in your heart, because God is looking at you, and if you throw your hand up and you agree with me and you don't do what God is wanting you to do this morning, you will be cursed. I'm telling you, listen to what I'm saying. If you want God to untie you and you want to stop resisting his untie, you need to lift your hands up this morning and say, you're talking to me. I've got three people in the whole church. You see, it's that hard heart that is preventing God from doing what God wants to do. Thelma, God, Jesus, sent these two disciples to a place called Bethany. The word Bethany means a house of an unripe fig. A house with fruit that is not ripe. A place where fruit should be ripe, but it's not ripe. It's the very place where Jesus went looking for fruit and he couldn't find it. There should have been fruit on that tree. Jesus wouldn't have went to go get that fruit if it wasn't time for the fig to bear some fruit. But he got there and that tree did not have no fruit on it. And because of that there, he cursed it and said, you'll never, ever bring forth fruit. Hear me, living water. This is serious. It ain't nothing to play with. I'm not just preaching a message to you to make it think you think that I understand the Bible. I am preaching to you a spiritual word from God. He's looking for fruit in this house. And if you don't have some fruit for him, you will never, this church will never bring forth fruit. We're at a place where a decision has got to be made. This is crunch time. This is an hour where this church is going to make it or they're not going to make it. Are y'all hearing me? God has come to release you. God has come hunting for some fruit. He can't find fruit when you're at the house watching wrestling on the television on Wednesday night. AEW, Dynamite. I know that. I know how many stay home to watch that. He's not going to show up and bring you and deliver you if you don't have any fruit when he comes to the house of God and you're at the house watching the football game on Sunday. God says, it is crunch time now. I have come to release you from being tied up. I've come to release your finances. I've come to release your healing. I've come to release your blessing. I've come to release your deliverance. I've come to bring you a breakthrough. And you are tied up and I'm coming to untie you. If you resist me untying you this morning, there will be no fruit for me to get. And this church will never bring forth any fruit. If we fall into that situation, Thelma, we might well lock the doors of the church and go home. How many of you are understanding the seriousness of what I'm preaching this morning? Would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I want to tell you a little story. God will not overlook this point. You don't need to overlook this point. The church has got to move away from the place of barrenness. We've got to literally quit living the life that is causing our fruit to be immature. Why? Because we need revival. We've got to have revival. Turn to your neighbor, look at him and say, God has called us to usher in this revival. Now, as he come, the Bible says that they come back with these two disciples, and the two disciples, they took their clothes off and they put it on top of the little fold coat on top of the cross so that Jesus could move there. There's something very significant about that. You need to understand it. And you also find out that when he went into the city, that the people there, they began to praise the Lord. They began to have a good time with the Lord, and the action of the crowd there began to give us two real powerful symbols as they took their clothes down and they laid it down for Jesus to come walking through. And then they went and got palm branches and they began to wave the palm branches and they began to sing Hosanna to the Lord. The word Hosanna means save me and save me now. I wonder here this morning in Living Water Worship Center, is there people in this house that love themselves enough, that love their church enough, that love their God enough, that realizes where we are this morning to the point to where we'll holler out to God and say, God, save me and save me now. Living Water needs to be saved and Living Water needs to be saved now. Lord, Bladenboro, North Carolina needs to be saved, and they need to be saved now. We don't need to wait another day. We don't need to wait for us to get all ourselves together. All we need to do is lay down our garments for Jesus so that Jesus can literally work through us. You see, the removal and laying down of their coat symbolizes their sacrifice, because see, back then, what you wore identified to you what type of person you were, what your occupation was. You see, if you were poor, you wore a certain garment. If you were blind, you wore a certain garment. And when they took their garment off and they laid it up there, they were saying, who I am don't matter anymore. What I want don't matter anymore. What my goals is in life don't matter anymore. You see, this is the commitment that God is asking for right now. He's wanting you to take off your garment and lay it on the cross. The Bible says you got to take up your cross, and you got to take up your cross daily, and you got to live your life holy before the Lord. In other words, it ain't about you, darling. It's about Jesus. It's not about you. It's about God. It's what God wants. It's not about how you want to identify yourself and how great you are and how talented you are and all this stuff. That ain't about it. It's about you making your decision that it don't matter what your identity is and what you feel like. It's about Jesus in your life. Is anybody hearing me this morning? It means you sacrifice. Sacrifice. You sacrifice who you are to God. Amen. We don't like that word in this house. We hate that word sacrifice. Y'all don't like to sacrifice an hour on Sunday morning. You definitely don't like to sacrifice an hour on Sunday night. And some of you ain't going to sacrifice one on Wednesday night. But let me share with you, there is something about to happen in your life right now. The Holy Ghost is about to release you. And you're going to start giving not only that 1 hour on Sunday morning and 1 hour on Sunday night and 1 hour on Wednesday night. You're going to start giving your whole life to God because the power of the Holy Ghost is present in this house to release you this morning. Amen. When they took their shoulders, their garments off of their shoulders, it showed God and it shows us that there's nothing more costly than having the King of Kings in our life. There's nothing worth it. That job you're working today, listen to me, that job you're working today, instead of being in the house of God, it ain't worth it if you don't have Jesus. That job that you is calling you to work on Wednesday night, it ain't worth it unless you have Jesus. They were showing that they understood that there was nothing that was too costly for the King of Kings. There was nothing in their finances that was too costly. Their time wasn't so important that they was had to have their time away from God. Their relationships was all given, their gifts, their talent, their abilities, everything, their job was given to God. They laid it all down. I want to ask you this morning as you're looking at me, how about you? How about you? Have you laid it all down? Oh, that church is too far for me to drive to on Wednesday night. That church is too far for me to drive on Sunday night. Oh, that church is too, I got to get up and be at work at 5:00 in the morning. Well, I'll tell you what, one of the biggest excuses that I hear when I call somebody and say, why ain't you been in church? Well, I was going to go. But I was going to go, but I was going to go, but I didn't have time to get ready. I was going to go, but I was going to go, but I slept too late. I was going to go, but I didn't have no way. I was going to go because I, but God's so sick of that. There are people that love you enough that if you'll make the idea and let everybody know that, hey, you want to be a part of this, God make sure that you get somebody here. Brother Mel back there don't have a car. He's here almost every service. He can get here. If he wants to get here bad enough, he's close enough he can walk. And I want to share with you, my mama, when she was coming up, she walked to church. They didn't carry her to church. She didn't have no bicycle to ride. She didn't have a horse to ride. She didn't have a car to ride. She got out and she walked to church. I'm talking about walking in the middle of the night to go to church. A young woman, beautiful as she was, walking 4 and 5 miles down the road to go to church. If you want to have something from God and you really want God to have a period in your life and bring you what you need to bring, you'll dedicate your time, your talent, your ability, and you'll make sure you're in His presence. Amen. Because God's not as impressed about the robes that you wear as you are. God don't care if you're wearing the wealthy outfits. You see, God knows the real you. He knows exactly who you are. When those people reached for those palm branches, it spoke of a depth of praise and how deep their praise was and how deep their thanksgiving was of what Jesus had done for them. You see, this crowd were people that were raised from the dead. This crowd was lepers that had been cleansed. This crowd was people that had deaf ears that had been set free. This crowd was people that had blind eyes that had been opened. This crowd was people that had schizophrenic children, demon-possessed people that had been set free by this man. And they had a depth of praise for him. And that's why they were laying down their garments and they were saying, Hosanna, I needed to be saved and He saved me. I wonder here today, as we look at the palm tree, the roots of a palm tree, I am told, go deeper, it just as deep in the ground as it is on top of the ground. And I want to share with you, when a storm comes, it'll lay it all the way down to the ground, but after the storm, it'll stand right back up. I want to tell what you ask you here today, how deep is your praise? How deep is your worship? How deep is your thankfulness for what God has done for you? Are you really thankful that you don't have to die and go to a devil's hell and spend eternity with worms eating your body? And fire and torment and people just literally destroying you? Aren't you grateful today that God loves you enough to save you? Aren't you grateful enough that God loves you enough today to keep you alive this long? Aren't you grateful? If you're grateful, then why is it that we can't give it all to Him? Let me tell you a little story. I went to go preach a revival at this Spanish church. And while I was preaching there that Monday night, I walked in. And there was a guy on this side that had him a ram's horn. And every few minutes, he'd blow the ram's horn. And on this side, there was one that had a whistle. And every now and again, he'd blow that whistle. And I don't know about you, but sounds like that bother me. And I was trying to get in the spirit of worship, and I couldn't get in the spirit of worship. And it seemed like at every opportunity, they were blowing that whistle, and they were blowing that horn. And I look over there, and it seemed like the man that was blowing the horn, he was making his own opportunities. He was just blowing anytime he wanted to blow. And I finally walked over to the pastor. I tapped him on the knee. I said, can you tell me about the whistle and the horn? He said, let me tell you about that there. He said, the one blowing the horn right there, he said he was out on meth here just a little while ago. He was hooked up on heroin. He lost his wife. He lost his family. He lost his job. He lost his house. He lost everything. They come got his car. His family left him and left him alone. He wound up in a dry house, but he got saved by the power of Almighty God. He said, you see those people that's right there on that pew right beside him where he's at? He said, that's his wife and that's his child. That's his son and that's his daughter. And he said, you see that one over there that's blowing that whistle? There, he was homeless some 90 days ago. Now he has a house and he has a job and he's got money and he's the highest payer that there is in the church. And he said, that's the reason why they blew in that whistle and that's why they blew in that horn. And I stopped the service and I said, brother, keep blowing that horn, keep blowing that whistle, because there's going to be a wet blanket somewhere that's going to come and try to throw that over your praise. I want you to know I'm thankful today that I'm not hooked on alcohol. I'm thankful today that I'm not hooked on drugs. I thank God today that I'm not dead. God save me. God heal me. God brought me through, and I'm thankful today to praise Him. And you'll never criticize my praise because I know how deep it is inside of me. Amen. Smile at somebody and say what you're grateful about. Amen. People that were delivered from demonic possession, they were praising the Lord. She had every right to give praise to God. We got every right to give praise to God here this morning. Amen. So look at your neighbor and say, blow your horn. Look at another and say, blow your whistle. You got a right to do it, don't you? Oh, I don't care if you like the way I praise the Lord or not. I got a right to do it. If I get loud, then I got a right to do it. If I'm going to get up here and I'm going to dance and shout and jump up and down, I got a right to do it because I ain't got to go to hell. God reached down into the deep and miry clay of hell and pulled me out of it and set me up on higher ground. And when he done it for eternity. He gave me a transaction and he said, I'll take care of you from the day right on. I got every reason to praise my Father. I got every reason to praise Him. Palm trees survive hurricanes. And I'm a palm tree. I've been through some hurricanes. Jesus was on a mission. He had to go and release the church. He was on a mission. He goes through. These people are praising Him. He gets to the church, the temple. Begins to walk into the temple. You see, he'd already been to the temple before. He had saw these things that was going on. He knew that there was prostitution going on in the church. He knew that already. He knew that people were taking advantage of the poor in the church. You see what was going on is the priest was supposed to have the people on their heart. That's why they wore that breastplate. But they were there the ones that judged your sacrifice. And you had to come to the church and bring a sacrifice. And if they said that sacrifice was not pure, then they had to take that pure, that impure sacrifice and lead it out of the temple and get rid of it. So what they would do is a poor person would come to the church bringing their sacrifices they thought were pure. And the priest would look at it and say, that ain't pure. And you've got to buy one from us that is pure.
So they would send them over to the money changers. And when they sent them over to the money changers would jack the price up of that sacrifice. And they would make money off of it. And at the end of the day, they would split the profit between the priest and the money changer. Now, the second thing that made it worse is that the very one that they said the day before was not pure, they'd hurl it out there into a little fence, and they'd feed it that tonight, and in the morning, they'd be there, and they'd roll it into the church, and they'd sell it off as being pure. The day before that, it wasn't pure, but they were taking advantage of the poor. Jesus knew that was going on. He had been in the temple many times. He saw the prostitutes there. He already knew that the sanctity of the temple had been lost. But he walked into that temple that day, and there was something that he saw that raised the indignation and his righteous anger on the inside of him and made him so mad that he did not leave that house without changing it. Made him so mad that he went and he got a scourge, or a whip as you want to call it, and he took that whip and he began to whip the things, the people that sold out of the temple. And there is a key in this that you need to hear, because the Bible says he overturned the seat of those that sold doves. And that was where the problem was. He saw the callous priests walk around lost in their religious tradition. He saw the money changers making their money in the temple. He saw the temple prostitute. He knew all that was going on. He knew that the poor was being exploited. But something was going on in this house, in this feast, that literally should not have been going on. And it made him so mad that he said, I'm going to change it. I'm going to speak up. As he looked over, he saw them being taken advantage of the poor. They saw the priest operating their little business behind the back. Didn't bother them that bad. You see all that's going on in the church today. If you want to see that happen, turn on Christian television. And they'll tell you, send $5 and God will give you $500. And somebody ain't got no money, or send $5 and all hopes that God will give them $500. They're fleecing the poor. But there was one thing that got Jesus upset. There was one thing that made Jesus grab a whip, turn the money changers' seats over, and turn the seats over and throw the seats out, throw the position of the people that sold doves out of the church. This God was giving me this message. He says, son, living water is guilty of this. You see, a dove is the symbol of the Holy Ghost. It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And what got Jesus upset that day is he looked, he saw all these money changers, all this stuff. He saw over in an obscure corner, hidden away from everybody, was doves caged up in a cage, locked up. In other words, he saw what represented the Holy Ghost being caged up, locked up, bound up in a corner. Jesus started the day off by going and sending two disciples to go release those things that were tied up at a place where two ways met. He'd come into the gate, the eastern gate of glory, and he walked in there and he released the people to their praise. Now he goes into the temple to release the temple of all this sinfulness and this debauchery. And also, the Bible shares with us that he went there and released the doves. And when he released the doves, he was releasing the Holy Ghost. Living Water Worship Center is guilty of taking the power of the Holy Ghost and putting it in a cage and stopping him from doing what he wants to do. We have stopped the Holy Ghost and put him in that pew, put him in that cave, and locked him up, and we'll not let him move. And we've done it by being out of covenant with him. You see, the Holy Ghost, when we're out of covenant with him, he can't move. He is a gentleman. He wants to move. We have locked him up. We have bound him up. In this church, you hardly ever hear anyone speak in tongues anymore. You hardly ever see anybody praising the Lord anymore. You don't see the power of the Holy Ghost move anymore. It does not matter how hard I preach or how much anointing falls on me. Y'all say on that pew like a rock on a log. God is ready to release the Holy Ghost in this house one more time. God is ready to release it in such a way that God can save your soul, even though you missed 50 minutes of the message. God is ready to do it right now in your life, and He's about to release the Holy Ghost here in living water.
Sad thing about it is he's going to have to whip the daylights out of just about every one of y'all to get it done. Amen. That's the sad thing. Suddenly he's been whipping already.
Amen.
Some of y'all have went through literal hell for 4 or 5 years.
Amen.
He's been trying to get you back where you used to be. And I hate to have to release this church to the Holy Ghost. But this morning, as we have prayed overnight since Wednesday, and we've had a talk, I was told, you got to release them. I want you to understand I am not a savior. I want you to understand I am not all this great big of a fellow. But let me share with you, there's been one reason why it ain't got as bad as it has. And it's not been that bad, and you're still living. There's a reason why you're still alive here today, and it's because this old boy and a few others have been praying for you.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't have to give an altar call to the Holy Ghost just yet. Bless her for coming. There's others that needs to come. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, as a pastor of this church, Lord God, I repent for allowing them to lock up the Holy Ghost. Father, now take this message. Turn the hearts of your people. Move in the power of God. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you've been being whipped by the Holy Ghost, you've been whipped by God, and you want to be released this morning, you need to make a move to this altar now. Because I'm telling you, if you leave here today, I'm having to release you to God. If you think it's been rough up to this point, if I release it to God, it's not going to be easy. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm giving you a spiritual word from God. You've got 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. God, my heart turns over. They're yours, Lord. They're yours.